Hello and welcome back to another Buffy podcast. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Kristen.
And I'm Holly.
And we are going to geek out about Buffy. I almost messed up the thing. I mean, I messed it up because I talked about messing it up. Today's episode is season 5, episode 18, Intervention. Whee! And as you heard, we have Holly from Elysian Fields.
Hi.
Again.
I'm doing spirit fingers.
Yes. Holly wanted to come back on an episode where she wasn't raving mad.
No, and this is one of my favorite episodes. Aside from like Once More with Feeling, this is my favorite episode.
I will say, I do think there is going to be a moment where we dip back into the Riley hate
for just a second.
And then I think we can
fuck
pull
Riley
back
in
completely.
All caps on my thing.
Yeah.
Is it right at the beginning? Because
that's when she's talking to Giles. Scene,
yeah. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I wrote that down.
For everybody listening along and not following along, this is the episode where Buffy goes on a quest with Giles to talk to the First Layer, and Spike has Buffy bot, and hilarity ensues. So we'll just step through the episode. What?
I said, let's go.
Oh, let's go. Giles and Buffy and Dawn are doing dishes. It's adorable.
So cute.
It's super cute. Giles wants to get back into training, but Buffy's not really ready for it. I like this aspect of the story where Buffy's like, because Buffy came to Giles in the beginning of the season and was just like, I really want to tap into this. And then something as earth-shattering as your mom dying would make you be like, I don't fucking know, man. Like, I'm just kind of lost, which I really like that they went there.
I think it's actually like a couple things too. I think she's been really rocked by a couple of things, and like in quick succession too, because I think it was like her mom getting sick in the first place, and then Riley leaving her, and then her mom dying, all wrapped up in all of the key stuff too. And I actually, if I'm being completely honest, like, I agree with her that this is a concern she's having, but I also kind of think it's a defense mechanism a little bit too, because I think she's like, I literally don't know if I can handle anything else right now. And so it's like, yes, all of those things are, and like, maybe she feels like she's not reacting the right way, but that again is something that can be solved with therapy or like just talking about it. But it's like, I don't necessarily think she's doing the wrong thing, but also in this ramp up to having to fight Glory, a god, which you now know, I feel like pulling back on the training is such a bad idea.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's very, I think it's more complex than just, I feel like I'm like losing my softness.
Yeah.
Well, and I was wondering a bit there, because it does, she does say at one point, because Giles says it will get better, and she says, well, it has to.
Yeah.
And we're tapping into, this is the episode where she learns that death is her gift. Mm-hmm. And just wondering if we're supposed to really see how much of that death wish that is mentioned in Fool for Love is really in play here. Because of what all she's lost.
Well, I think also to your point where you said she's like, it has to get better. That also, without putting a real button on it, it implies that she has reached kind of a rock bottom where she's like, it literally can't get worse. So it has to get better. Like, I don't know how it could literally get worse.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think it's an interesting starting point or midpoint, actually, where it's building, like when the thing happens to her near the finale, mm-hmm. where she's catatonic, like, you've had all this, like as you mentioned, it's like she went to Giles at the beginning of the scenes, like, I really want to be a better Slayer, and I feel like there's so much more potential. And then immediately after, it's like, your sister's not real, your mom is sick, your boyfriend left you and blamed you and manipulated you, your mom died. Like, it's just like worst thing after worst thing over and over again. And she's just like, fucking, can I have a break? And then it just keeps going until the end of the season, where and makes it so at the end of the season, you're like, I mean, yeah, this totally tracks.
Honest to God, if a portal opened up right now, I couldn't tell you what I might do.
So. Fucking kill me, That's pretty great. So then, Buffy's talking to Giles, and this is where the thing is, I'm assuming, that you were talking about, Kristen, where she's beating herself up about...
I was never there for Riley. Not like I was for Angel.
Which I just wrote in all caps, barf.
The rage. The rage I felt. I was just like, because she's so messed up. She's just so messed up by this man. You are Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He is just some guy. Like, what are you... This is unacceptable.
And it's also just not true. I mean, she was ready to infiltrate the government facility for him. She like bullied him over his health for like, or not bullied him, but like was there forcing him to go get his health checked out because she was so worried.
Yeah.
And it's more that she's believing the narrative that other people tell her about her relationship. And she has no one on her side in this. Like
100%. And I also, I mean, maybe Dawn would be, but I don't feel like she talks about her relationships with Dawn.
No.
And the other thing that makes me so annoyed about it, and it's one of the things that's annoying to me about all of her relationships, is that she never takes her own feelings as what is the like true center of the situation. She's like, Riley was right. Like, it's like Riley said something to her. And she was like, well, if he said it, it must be true. Right. It's like she's not trusting her own feelings and instincts about any of these situations.
Well, she's always told that they're not right, even though they always are.
Exactly. Yeah, it's so bonkers. And especially the way she centers it on Riley and Angel. I was never there for Riley, not like I was for Angel. And I'm just like, I want to kill myself. Like, it's so annoying.
Well, yeah, everything I wrote here is the things that she's feeling are textbook after grief. You do shut down. You do become them. Then like all of her things about not being able to trust love. I'm like, well, look at your track record. You had two men who manipulated you. Yeah. Two men who just.
Three.
Yeah. Three. Who
Parker. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And completely railroaded you. And also, I'm just going to. Riley did not leave because she was shut down. He left because they were having relationship issues that he didn't communicate with her and then blamed her for.
And then he cheated. I like yes. Because.
Which they keep leaving out. I think the biggest problem is the show wants that to be the narrative. So we're not going to have her friends being like, what are you talking about? Riley's a fucking asshole because we had Xander doing the dipshit thing at the end of that episode. Anya's not going to say anything. Willow there is the only person who would be, you know, because like you said, she's not going to talk to Dawn about it. Yeah. Giles isn't going to get mixed up in it. So Willow's the person to say to Buffy, like, what are you fucking fuck Riley? But they're not going to do that because the show wants this to be the narrative of like, oh yeah, Buffy really fucked up the relationship with Riley. It's, no, she didn't.
Yeah. I also feel like there's kind of an implied thing where it's like Buffy doesn't ever again speak to Willow about relationship stuff. And so for me, there's this implied thing where like Buffy can't talk to her about romance because she's a lesbian now, which is like very bizarre also. And I'm like, she still knows about relationships. Just because she likes girls now doesn't mean she can't give you good advice or just commiserate with you about your relationship. And I think what's especially important is there is something to be said also for her feeling, you know, like she's losing her softness and everything, where like lots of stuff was going wrong for a while. Like Joyce was sick, Riley was having problems, like all of this stuff. But then, you know, in her mind, Joyce got better. And so it's like the death of Joyce was like the rug getting ripped out from under you because Joyce was better and then she died. Mm-hmm. And so that I think also it's like even worse than if she had died like when she was on the table for the surgery. The fact that she came home, she got better, everything was looking great, and then she died. It's just like the worst part of it because she didn't have a chance to fully grieve.
Yeah.
And it also goes to the Riley stuff where it's like, so she, I think before they knew what was going on, she was grieving. And that's when she wasn't, quote unquote, taking care of Riley. But then after she was fine, Riley was already gone. So he couldn't see that switch. Like, I think she would have gone back a little bit to her, you know, quote unquote, normal self. But we didn't get that chance because he was a bitch baby. And we just, like, didn't get there. So I don't know. It's just, it's so annoying that she just consistently doesn't center herself in her own emotional journey. It's always about how it impacts the men that are in these relationships with her. It's so annoying.
Completely agree. And then Buffy, basically Giles is like, well, there is a thing that you could do that could maybe help you find your center again. And Dawn is super supportive. Dawn's like, do it.
I love that.
Gonna help you. Yeah, I think it's a really, really sweet scene.
Yeah.
And then Wes. Why did I write Wes?
What's I don't his know. Name? What's Warren.
Fucking... Warren.
Oh, wait. Before we switch to that scene, I was saying. Oh, yeah.
You're like, one more thing.
One more thing. The last thing that Buffy says in that scene is, weird love's better than no love. And Buffy, I love you so much, but you're constantly qualifying what is real and isn't real love. So.
Yeah, all the time.
I know it's a cute little setup, but at the same time, I'm like, oh, all of season six.
Yeah.
Yeah. So many things to say. And then we go to Warren delivering Buffy Bot to Spike, and the fun begins. Spike, I love that Spike isn't fully sold. He's like, wait, something seems off. And the moment she's up, he's like, all right, this is fine.
It's whatever.
This is fine. Yeah.
Okay. We can get into it further down. I have so many things to say about Buffy Bot. And before we even get started on that, I would like it to be just taken as read that the Buffy Bot is immoral and unethical. It's pretty gross. I'm not defending the Buffy Bot or Spike necessarily. It's gonna sound like I kind of am, because there's things about the Buffy Bot that he didn't need to do. He yes. didn't need to program certain things into the Buffy Bot, and he did.
Yes.
And I find that fascinating, because he didn't just want a sex robot. He wanted a sex robot, but he didn't only want a sex robot.
I have so many notes on that.
Yeah, okay. I felt like we were going to all be on the same page, but I just think it's important that is said.
Well, yeah, one of the things I wrote down was, Warren says, everything you asked for, all the extra programming, tons of real-world knowledge, profiles you gave me about her friends and family.
Right.
I mean, why would he need to do that if he is just going to bang it?
He also Warren, it was weird to Warren the things, which we'll get into later, but he clearly put in things like, I want her to find pleasure in me going down on her, which Warren, I think, was so confused about. He's like, I programmed those scenarios in that you, but Warren's like, I just, make a thing that lays there and fucking go to town. You wanted all this very specific shit, which was is a whole layer.
So many notes. Oh my God. So
Warren has never pleased a woman in his life, first of all. Life, if I'm being completely honest, I'm not sure he even put the clit where it goes on that robot. Yeah. Just saying.
He's over there Googling basic anatomy.
I know, right?
Yeah. He's like, how does this work?
General female anatomy.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That's where I am on. I agree. I think, a sex robot of another person, obviously, it's a whole fantasy world. It's not anything that's real. It's the same as is it immoral to fuck your clone? It's we don't have clones. No, I don't know. Let's have that conversation in 20 years when it's possible.
Okay, I've already had this conversation. Yes, it is not immoral to fuck your clone. If you say you wouldn't do it, you're lying.
Who wouldn't?
I don't believe you.
But yeah,
I'm not gonna argue. Yeah.
I think that it is important to bring up, we're not just you should totally just do this. I also think it's a weird, I've seen a couple comparisons. Some people were saying leaked photos, which I completely disagree with.
No.
And then some people said it's deep fakes, which it is kind of deep fakes. But
this is more deep fakes than leaked photos.
Yeah, I was it's not, Warren had no access to Buffy below the neck. So everything there is just imagined from Spike. His details imagined from Spike.
Well, yeah, and I have a whole litany of things I could say about all of this. But I think the most important thing is, first of all, he's soulless and he doesn't have the kind of capacity to go, oh, wait, this is not a cool thing to do.
Right. Exactly.
And then secondly, he didn't intend for anyone else to know that this thing existed. It wasn't like he was going to distribute it to other people. He wanted it to be his little thing that he kept. He wanted it to be his little, sex toy that he kept in his crypt. It wasn't supposed to go out and do the things that it did that he stupidly didn't think would happen when he wanted those programs, the patrol programs, all of the profiles on her friends and family, just which I think is the worst thing he did, is giving Warren all of that information, which Warren ended up not even using. But
sure, in I think giving it to Warren for sure, but also what you just said actually does then relate it back to the leaked photos, like this, like the celebrity leaked photos from like 2010 or whatever, because you're right, it was, the Buffy bot was not for public distribution, that was supposed to be a private thing. And so it's like, when I think about specifically like the Jennifer Lawrence photos that she was sending to Nick Holt that got leaked, she was like, that was my boyfriend, we were working on different things at the time, I sent him nude pictures of me because he was my boyfriend, that was for him, that was not for you. And so again, it's not moral and it's not ethical, but he doesn't have a soul. And in his mind, he is, there is 0% chance that Buffy is going to ever reciprocate. And he was like, well, I will get myself the next best facsimile and maybe I'll just bang it out of my system.
Right.
With this toy is like kind of what you have to imagine he's thinking. So it's like, yeah, it's not good, but also no one was supposed to find out.
He didn't do it with an intention to harm. And I think that is really important, despite the fact that it is very gross that he did it in the first place, which
of course it is.
Yeah. But I'm not going to hold him to a human standard when he's not human.
100%.
Yeah, that's the greatest point I think to make, is like, it's not about like romanticizing, isn't this so beautiful that Spike loves Buffy so much that he made this, you know, Buffy bot like that. Nobody's ever saying that. I think the most fascinating thing about Spike's story is that he is immoral, he is soulless, yet he has this exorbitant amount of love shooting out of his body, and he doesn't know how to handle it, and he's trying to figure it out, and he wants to do good sometimes, but he just doesn't know how. He is just a soulless vampire, and he's like trying to navigate this world filled with all this love. And so like, to him, this is perfectly fine. And then when it's put out in front of his face, he's just like, I guess it's wrong. I don't know.
Like, he's sort of like a toddler in that way, where he has a lot of big feelings and he doesn't know how to express those big feelings. And so he's always doing it wrong.
Yeah, I have a fandom friend. I think she compares him to like the early stages of puppy love, when you're just exploding with all this emotion and you have no idea what to do. So you're making it everyone else's problem.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I do think though that the bot itself is indicative of how he sees Buffy, which is much more interesting to me.
I think it's more an indication of how, I don't know how to say this without making him sound even worse, but I think it's an indication of how he wishes Buffy would be.
I agree with that too. Because there are certain,
I think it can be both. Yeah.
No, totally. Because there are scenes, which we'll get to, where she's saying, yes, you're evil and I love you. And that's what he wants. But he also likes it when she overpowers him.
For sure. I think that it's like a couple things specifically for me, that are like a juxtaposition, where it's like he wanted her to, you know, to, like you said, to be in love with him. So he wanted reciprocal feelings.
Right.
Which again, I mean, it's just better than Angel, because you know Angel would have just not. I can't even finish my sentence. Regardless, he did want those reciprocal feelings, and he also wanted her to be strong, and he also, because the slayerness is a part of her, he wanted her to still be the slayer and have the fighting and everything. But I think juxtaposed with that is what she's wearing, which is absurd. It's like a slinky, flowy, pink pleated skirt and a pink tank top, and then she puts on like a leather jacket later. That is so... I mean, it's not like Buffy's never worn anything like that. You know, she's wearing lots of skirts and stuff, but it's like, I think it actually directly plays into what Buffy was talking about, her softness. I think as misguided as he is, Spike loves all of Buffy.
Oh, 100%.
He loves the Slayer part of it, but he loves that she's a girl, like that she is girly and a woman, and like that is a part of her. Whereas Angel and Riley both only ever liked the girl part of Buffy. They were very resistant and pushing away to the Slayer part of it. And it's gross. The Buffy bot is gross. But the fact that that was important to Spike is interesting.
Yeah. That's the thing, is like, it's so fascinating. Yeah. I think because once you accept, like, okay, he's immoral, he did something wrong, the intricacies that went into making this Buffy bot, and it wasn't just a sex doll. It wasn't just this lifeless sex doll that was in his thing, which also would be gross, but would be a lot less interesting, because you're like, oh, what the fuck is this? Yeah. Why is this an episode? But this is like, you're showing how much he wants to be loved by Buffy. And we'll get into it a lot with the other scenes later too, because there's a lot of things discussed with each detail
too. I think we're just at the scene where he gets the bot.
Yeah, we are. We're really early.
There's so much.
I sent you guys that It's Always Sunny thing, but it's like the implications of this are staggering to me.
No. I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and this is also to bring up, because we brought up the dress thing, that was in the whole article about Joss Whedon, her dress in this episode. Mm-hmm. The fact that that's what Sarah Michelle Gellar wanted her to wear, and the costume designer was like making it, and Joss was like, no, it needs to be sexy, and he blah blah blah, and he like grabbed the costume designer by the arm and was like all physical, and it was just like he didn't even get what Sarah Michelle Gellar and James Marsters were bringing, and they brought so much to this, because he was just like, I just want a sexy, you know, Sarah Michelle Gellar Buffy to just do sexy things. I was like, that's not what this is about,
that's not the point at all, and that's also so boring.
Yes.
So Janice Benson wrote this episode, so
Our Lady of Buffy, yes.
Yeah, take that as you will. But that's just so boring. It just proves that he has no imagination, that he has like no, and it also, for me, it kind of makes me feel like this show was amazing in spite of him. It's amazing because of all the other writers, and they were actively working against him all the time.
Yeah.
And the performances, because I mean, that's James was supposed to be killed off, or Spike was supposed to be killed off in the first five episodes. But because of what he did in his performance, they kept him around.
I mean,
and gave us the show.
Also, just like, so I also am, I'm 8 seasons deep in Vanderpump Rules right now. So there's just like, so, cause I don't know if, I'm sure you guys are not like well versed in it at all, but there was like a huge scandal in this last season. I will tell you about it. It's insane. And it's so fucking crazy. And so Rachel's been having me watch it, and there's just the one character, he's a real man, but it just like gives me the same vibes where it's like, you were so beloved for so long, and then you fucked up so hard that now every decision that you've ever made that was recorded on television for the last 10 years is being called into question. Like, it's absolutely crazy.
So bonkers.
It's so stupid.
But yes, let's move on.
Yes, of course. I'm sorry.
No. We're all sorry. We just spent half an hour talking about
I was like,
the 30-second scene.
Yeah, I was like, you know, Buffy's just like sort of sitting around a fire for like 80% of this episode. Maybe it won't be like as long as the last one that we had Holly on. Yeah. And then I was like, who am I kidding? It's going to be even longer.
We had Holly on an episode about Spike and Buffy having sex. This is not going to be a short episode. Yeah.
No, you did this to yourselves.
Yeah, we did. We knew what we were getting into.
That's right. After the credits, we come back to Glory and the minions, and she tells them to go find something that the Slayer is protecting. Giles takes Buffy to the desert.
You mean that one desert right outside Los Angeles where everyone films with that stupid rock formation?
The one desert.
The sacred place where apparently multiple Slayers have gone, too.
Yeah.
California, you're telling me all of the Slayers that ever did this had to go to California?
He says that multiple Slayers have done this and it's helped them. And I'm like, wow, that's really...
That Chinese Slayer had to take a boat all the way to this fucking
desert. Gotta sail the Pacific. Talk to the
thing. And then she gets death as a gift. She's like, really? All that fucking traveling? Come on. And then I love the hokey pokey joke.
So how's it start?
Jump out of the circle, then I jump back in it, and then I shake my gourd.
Oh, I know this ritual. The ancient shamans were next called upon to do the hokey pokey and turn themselves around.
Go quest.
I love the hokey pokey joke, but the punchline of...
That's what it's all about.
To cap it is, it makes me laugh so hard every
it's
time.
So it's good. So good.
Because he like jumps in so stupidly, and like he looks so embarrassed.
So
like,
embarrassed.
What am I doing? And he also told her to go. He's like, just go do your walkabout. And she doesn't. She just watches him do it. It's so funny.
Course she does. I mean,
I have to see this.
He explains what he's about to do. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm watching this.
That's super funny. I also love how many rituals they do that require a magic gourd.
Yes.
This is at least the second one.
Yeah. They always got a gourd. And then we go to Spike and Buffy Bot. And they're rolling around doing stuff. and then this is where I wrote the note. It's worth noting that Spike goes down on Buffybot. Not only that he programmed her to enjoy that, but also that it's what he wants to do. Like, this isn't a human being that he's bringing pleasure to.
Yeah.
But he wants this full experience.
I mean, all caps, he goes down on a robot, my dudes.
Yeah.
Look. There's lots of human men out there that won't go down on a human woman. And he's like, I want to go down on Buffy so bad that I'll go down on a robot version of her.
Yes.
I just, look, again, immoral, unethical, but I'd have sex with him. He would make it good.
I'll die on that hill with you.
Thank you. Me and Holly will defend this hill to our last breath. Yeah.
We certainly will. I wanted to write, because this kind of does juxtapose with Riley wanting to take Buffy in season four, but Spike doesn't want to overpower her. He asks Buffy Bot, is that your best? And she says no, and it's because Spike knows that she can kick his ass, and he wants her to be the Slayer, and that's just... Mm-hmm. It's probably something that I've already said, but I just love it so much.
No, I think it's so important. And that's why I talked about her outfit, because it's because that's not even to say that like Spike chose that outfit. Like perhaps Warren just like had women's clothes lying around or went and bought something. But also it is gross, but I'm just saying.
No, you're right. Yeah. That's not even the grossest thing I've heard today about Warren. So.
But that's the point, is that it's very deliberately juxtaposed, because he does like and love and appreciate both parts of Buffy, which is, again, despite his, you know, behavior and lack of soul, is something none of her other lovers have ever expressed or, you know, held true. And I think, again, I just think it's important that it's noted.
I think it's interesting too, because Holly, when you mentioned the comparison to Riley wanting to take her and Spike knowing that she's stronger than him, I feel like, especially with that episode in season four where he told Harmony that I've had my ass kicked so many times, like he even in season four had fully like, Buffy's better than me. Buffy is way better than me. I can't beat her. And I would argue that he fell more in love with her over the times that he got his ass kicked, because he was like, she's just so fucking incredible. As opposed to Riley, who is just like, every time he got an indication that she was better than him, he just kept going down like, ooh. It was just a complete different.
There's a whole scene in an episode you guys have already covered, because it was before this one, where he's in bed with Harmony and he is imagining Buffy kicking his ass.
Yeah.
So...
for the Riley thing, it's like he's also putting that on her, where it's like every time that it's even implied that she's stronger than him, he is creating the power imbalance. He's creating the emotional power imbalance in that moment, where it's like, sure, there's a physical power imbalance, but you still can be emotional equals. But he's like, well, if there's a physical imbalance, we're not equal.
Yeah.
Where like that's not a one-to-one comparison. Where it's like my husband could actually he might not be able to. I have stronger arms than he does, but I'm like, he could maybe overpower me, but we're emotionally, you know, on an equal level. And so it just like it's just not the same. Like why do you have to physically overpower your girlfriend? That's gross.
Yeah.
Also, she might let you physically overpower her in certain scenarios. Why does it have to be fighting? Ugh.
He's the worst.
Again, it's the implication. Yuck.
And then Buffy follows a lion in the desert.
Yep. A lioness.
A lioness in the desert. Tara's doing a spell at Xander and Anya's. Dawn steals something. I forgot how soon her stealing starts. I think it started even before this. Like,
well, didn't she steal something? Yeah, I was going to ask you guys because I wrote Dawn steals this plot line because I don't like it.
I don't like how long it goes. It goes such a long way into season six. But I actually, because I was working while I was watching, so I missed her steal here. She stole from Anya.
Yeah, she stole like earrings or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Shit. I don't steal from Anya.
I personally like the stealing storyline. I like the, like, she's just trying to feel something kind of, because I feel like, and I think the reason I like it is it's not necessarily something where they're like highly focusing on it. It's just like she steals a thing,
it just
she
keeps grabs happening. A
thing. Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like they're not, until it's a big explosive thing when they're trapped in the house.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was,
well, not even that. When it's once more with feeling is when it all comes out.
That's when she's just like, oh, I accidentally picked it up. But when they're trapped in the house, they're like, this is all my shit.
Right. That's
and so
right.
I thought that was interesting that, like, it's just this little thing where you're like, what is she doing? That's fucking weird. And at the end, you're like, oh, God, she's going through something.
It is realistic. The last time I stole anything, I was 14. So I think all 14-year-old girls go through like a real gentle kleptomania
phase.
Just to see what you can get away with. Yeah.
That's right.
I still have it. And it's like, I'm not proud I stole it, but I'm proud I still have it. I stole a little tiny jar of glitter from Bath and Body Works. That was the last thing I ever stole.
They're coming for you, Kristen.
I don't know why I didn't just buy it. It was only $8.
The statute of limitations there are way forever.
That was like the year 2000. I was like, maybe
you're giving
14.
Them a date, Kristen. They're coming for you.
They don't even sell that anymore.
I wanted to point out that the Dawn and Buffy are wearing complimentary turtlenecks.
Nice.
Buffy has a brown one on, and Dawn has a blue one on, and the colors look really well together. I was like, sisters.
Sister. I like that.
Interesting.
And then we go to Spike and Buffy Bot again. Spike doesn't like, she references her programming, and he's... Yeah. I put my notes here. Sarah Michelle Gellar is really good at performing.
So good.
Because you could think like, oh, you just like turn off your emotions and be a robot. But it's just like when we were talking about her being Faith in her body. She has to like be a robot that's being Buffy. It's not just be a, like, it's one thing to just be like, I'm a robot and not have anything going. But like, to try to go to the level of Buffy, but have no actual emotions. I think she pulls it off so well.
She pulls it off great. And the like, the like nearly unhinged smile that she does almost the entire episode. I mean, it's brilliant. It's so good. It's such a like hilarious visual, you know, even if she weren't wearing that absurd outfit, which it is an adorable outfit.
She looks amazing,
but it's just absurd. So it's like, even without that, it's such a good visual cue to be like, this is the Buffy bot for sure.
I need to throw in that the Buffy bot creates a piece of fanon that is in fanfic all the time, which is that even with a chip, Spike can bite Buffy if she lets him.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that in fanfictions. I love it. So good. Because it's like, if it's all about the intention to harm.
Right.
Right.
Where we know that getting bit by a vampire makes you cum.
Yes.
We know that for a fact. So if it's not an intent to harm, you can do it while you're having sex.
So there
just
you
saying.
Go.
I'm just saying. Go. She created it, saying, and I love it. And his little Just Be Buffy thing kills me every single time.
Spike, I can't help myself. I love you.
You are mine, Buffy.
Should I start this program over?
Shh. No programs. Don't use that word. Just be Buffy.
Yeah. Because I think on top of everything else that we've already discussed, Spike is just lonely.
So lonely.
He wants companionship. He's always been with other people, even when they were Harmony and driving him crazy.
Yeah.
And he's alone in his little crypt, and he wants someone to talk to, even if it's a robot. Yeah. And it kills me.
He's so cute.
You're totally right. And especially because, like, so many of the other vampires we've met, like, specifically Angel and Darla. But, I mean, we've also only mostly met, like, the ones we really know are mostly in couples.
Yeah.
Because it's also, like, Penn and, Penn was alone. Jeremy Renner was alone. But then it's like we get a couple, I think, in season three opener of Angel. And so it's like there's a lot of pairs, but they aren't really pack animals like a lot like people are. Even. Right. But because I think, you know, as a fanon thing, which I don't know has ever been actually proved in canon besides all of the evidence and in the portrayal of it. Spike still retains so much of his humanity, so I think he's more of a pack animal than the rest of them, where it's like when Drusilla left him and he didn't even really like Harmony, and the Scoobies consistently don't include him or like talk about how shitty it is that they have to include him or like all of this stuff. I think you're right. I think he is just desperately lonely. He has no one to spend time with, and we haven't met Clem yet. And, you know, the demons still hate him at this point, all the demons. Yeah. So he can't even go hang out with them. I mean, it's just I think you're right. I think he's just lonely.
And at this point, Buffy is his favorite person. So he wants the bot to be Buffy.
Yeah.
I mean, in addition to having sex with it, he wants it to be Buffy.
You buy a sex toy, you're going to have sex with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just saying.
It's in. Yeah. And then and then later that night, which is great, Buffy, speaking to what we spoke to before, he programmed her to slay and like go out and be a vampire slayer. Easily could have removed that.
Vampires of the world beware.
My favorite time to slay. It's like, it's so funny because it's like it very easily, like there's no reason for her to go out. If anything, it's dangerous for him because then other people will see it. And like he programmed it into her because he was like, just stay in my crypt. But he couldn't do that. She had to be fully Buffy.
Yep.
Well, and I think that this is an argument that you'll run into a lot if you are in the Buffy corner of fandom, like I am all the time. But we'll hear a lot of Spike didn't love Buffy. He just wanted to bang her. And I'm like, the bot disproves that completely.
100%. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I can't discount that, yes, he does want to bang her.
No,
that
was absolutely. Like, he does.
At the base of the reason for the Buffy bot is he wants to have sex with Buffy. There's no arguing that. But it's not the only thing he wants, because it goes back again to what I said, which is that he loves both sides of her. Because he even in a robot that he wanted primarily for sex and secondarily for companionship, he could not take away the most innate part of her, which is her slayerness. He could not take that away from her. I'm not defending him, but that is clear proof that he loves her. Like, it's clear to me.
It gives such a fascinating look into it because, and this jumps all the way to the end of the episode, but and we'll get there. But I thought about it now because if Spike just wanted to have sex with Buffy, there's a scene in the middle of this where he's bored getting a blowjob from her.
Yes.
Which we'll get into when we go there. And then, so he's already gone through the gamut. He's done everything with this Buffy bot sexually where he's just like, fuck, I just want regular Buffy.
Yeah.
If he just wanted sex with her, then he would not do the things he does at the end of the episode. He
wouldn't 100%.
Be still so emotionally invested. Like, I could never do that to Buffy and still have that reaction to being kissed by Buffy. Like,
100%.
He wants something so much more than just sex with Buffy, which he realizes, I think, in having Buffy bot, he's just like, this is not what I need.
Buffy bot is so agreeable, and he doesn't love, I mean, it's nice at first, I'm sure, but after a while, he wants, one of the reasons that he loves Buffy is that they clash all the time.
Yeah.
So.
And I think it's actually, it sort of proves and then also disproves the Warren and April thing, where it's like it proves that, like, yeah, you don't just want a girlfriend that's going to go along with everything that you say. You want a real whole human who's going to disagree with you sometimes. But I think it also kind of disproves it. I think I lost my point. Shit.
I think maybe you were just trying to point out that, like, Warren's still a piece of shit.
Well, Warren's definitely still a piece of shit, but it's like I found it again. Even though Spike did everything he could to make the Buffy bot as Buffy as possible, it still doesn't compare. to right. the real right. person. So it's like Absolutely, he yeah. even did more due diligence than Warren
right.
to he make this as human as possible, and it still wasn't enough.
He had a real person he was modeling after. It wasn't just a set of...
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I yeah. agree. And I'm, I have a lot agree. More.
Yeah. We'll get into those when we get to the scene. I didn't want to jump so far ahead, but I was just like, it was running through my head.
Yeah. I was just going to say the other thing too about the Buffy bot in general, which is, has been the thing that I've been saying since Spike's first appearance on the show in season two, the Buffy bot does not upend their power dynamic. The Buffy and Spike power dynamic. It's just a gross thing he did. It doesn't disempower Buffy in any way. Like no. they are still real Buffy, real human Buffy is still on an even keel with Spike. And yeah. in fact, in the higher power position because he can't physically fight back against her.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, I just think I've brought it up almost every time they have a thing like this. And I think it's important to bring up every time because they're the only two that are ever on this equal plane.
Yeah. Buffy and Giles are waiting for something to happen in the desert. We see Buffy Butt out roaming the cemetery, and she asks Anya how her money is.
That's
I
so good.
Love how happy it makes Anya. She's like, yeah. "It's great. Thanks for
thank
asking.
You so much."
Thank you so much.
Anya asks for so little,
so <I know>. Little.
Just having the slightest bit of validation. I mean, sure that carried yeah. her for like the entire week. She's
yeah.
like,
yeah.
"Oh, the robot cared about my money.
Can we keep that around?" Spike comes running in, which is also hysterical. He's like, shit.
Yeah.
And at this point, he has to know there's a timetable on it. They're gonna find out. There was no yeah. way they're not finding out at this point.
Oh okay. my God. So, okay. Yes. Oh, okay. We're gonna... And there's more, there's so many more scenes, but we might as well talk about it here. The fact that none of them
thank you.
Realize
thank
that
you.
She is a robot, especially after April, like, especially when they sat down, they were like, oh, she's a robot, right? She's definitely a robot with April. And it was so easy. I was like, how did you not come to that conclusion with Buffybot? It is so blatantly obvious.
Their like excuse is that she's like doing weird things in her grief or whatever, but it's like,
no.
So she's acting like a robot in her grief? Is that traditional? I don't think so.
They don't know her well, is what
no,
I'm just like,
it's a
this
bummer.
Is, you guys are bad.
bad friends. Bad
not
friends.
Amazing friends. They haven't even done like most of the worst friend stuff. And oh, they're still not good friends.
Yeah. And I'm right on Buffy's side when she's like, you couldn't tell the difference?
Yeah.
The minions see Buffybot protecting Spike.
Okay, I just have to say, I love, it's like, it's kind of split up, but it's like a montage of all the different demons, like, spying on all the different Scoobies, and yeah. they're just, like, it's so stupid, they're just, like, lurking in the window, or, like, right around the side of a crypt, and it's just so dumb.
Yeah, it is funny. Just trying to find anything.
I love it.
Buffy's all worked up after slaying, and...
Buffybot.
Buffybot is all worked up after slaying, and Xander and Anya see Buffy riding Spike just yeah. out in the open.
That's okay.
Calling Here's him the big bad. He is such a dork. Oh my God.
Look, hey, don't kink shame Holly.
I'm not kink shaming him. It's adorable, but he's such a dork.
No, he's such a dork. But also, I'm with you where it's like, there is a crypt like 3 feet from where you are. You couldn't have gone inside there yeah. first. You're just doing it, first of all, on top of someone's grave. Like, just
seconds
in the middle
Xander
of the cemetery.
Left.
I don't yeah. think Spike's going to give a shit about the people who are buried there, but it is completely careless of him. Like, oh, yeah. Xander and Anya left like 2 seconds ago. They're far enough away to not come yeah. back. And oh, yeah, well.
No. Yeah. Spike and Anya run in and tell Willow and Tara. I love that Tara preempts.
Everyone, before we jump all over her, people do strange things when someone they love dies. When I lost my mother, I did some pretty dumb stuff, like lying to my family and staying out all night.
Buffy's boinking Spike.
Oh, well, Tara's right. Grief can be powerful, and we shouldn't judge.
What are you kidding? She's nuts.
That is not Tara. That is not Tara. I'm sorry.
No, I agree. That's not a Tara comment. Especially given the Tara and Buffy relationship in season yeah. six.
Yes.
This is super out of character.
Completely out of character for her. Yeah. And I also, I don't know why Anya gives a shit.
I don't either.
Like, I don't, like, why does she care who Buffy is boinking? Like,
yeah,
she
should, that's fair.
I also, I want to say to the Tara thing, because I agree. I think it's out of character for her. I think it's funny. I think it's line delivery. Yeah. I do think it's out of character. And I think what's interesting is later when Xander is threatening Spike, again, we'll get to the scene and we'll talk to him in detail, but it's interesting because even then he's still like, this is in the world of possibility. Mm-hmm. Buffy in her grief turned to sleeping with Spike is in their head. That's what they went to instead of Buffy's acting like a robot and Buffy's having sex with her. Very obviously, this is a robot. That's not Buffy.
Okay, fine. But I do, I mean, I do think it's within the realm of possibility that Buffy in her grief would sleep with Spike.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, okay. I'm saying in their head,
it's not a huge leap.
Yeah, they're acting super surprised, like, oh, can you fucking believe it? I'm like, but that's at your core right now. That's the thing that you're drawing on, and that's the thing that Xander's drawing on when he's telling him, like, you're taking advantage of her in her grief. I'm like, so you're aware that, like, she's fully capable of making this decision on her own.
I think it's more even more sinister than that, because I think it's like you are aware that she is deep in her feelings and that Spike might be the only thing to help. Like, she's that deep in her feelings and you're not doing anything about it that would prevent her from sleeping with Spike. If you're so certain that might be an option, shouldn't you be being more of a support system to her than you are?
Right.
On the flip side, though, I want to say, I want to know where this Xander was, because this Xander is a lot more understanding than Entropy Xander is.
Jesus Christ, you're right. It's horrible.
Yeah, Entropy Xander is so awful.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and so many other things have happened by the time that when we meet Entropy Xander, and he is just totally awful. And as bad as he is in this episode, I'm like, I would prefer to see this Xander in that context.
Do you want to come back for Entropy Xander?
For Entropy? It's going to be such a great, like, collection of episodes.
You're like, oh, no.
We'll do this. We did that previous episode. We do Intervention. Then we do, was it As You Were? And then we do Entropy.
Yeah,
just
perfect.
Just a four-part Holly arc to be able to listen to in succession.
Well, I'm glad Intervention is here, because I'll just be mad
for all the rest of it.
I know. It's just so much rage. But we'll get to that Xander scene and talk about it in more detail. Buffy starts to see the first Slayer out in the thing, and then that's it for that scene for now. Buffy Bot is giving Spike a blowjob, and he is bored.
I have posted pictures. I have one of the Elysian Fields authors did an artistic rendering, here we go, of that scene, and I called it my bored blowjob shirt, because I wear it, and I posted a picture of it, and they were like, how can he be bored when he's getting a blowjob from Buffy? I'm like, he's not getting a bored blowjob from Buffy, and that's why he's bored.
Right, yeah. It's so
not
fascinating.
Exactly Buffy.
I think I saw you post a thing about the bored blowjob shirt, because I was like,
I think you interacted with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw people were like questioning whether or not he was, and I was like, it is 100% clear.
It's very clear.
She pops up.
Yeah, she popped up. His pants are unzipped. Like,
I mean, it's
nothing else was happening in this scene.
They're not on UPN yet.
Do these people believe he's actually doing naked push-ups and gone?
Yeah, probably.
Like, are those the people that is? They're like, well, I don't see another person there.
Yeah, Buffy's not there.
They weren't on UPN yet, so that was as suggestive as they could possibly get.
Yeah,
on.
Sure.
But man, when they get on UPN, yeah.
It turns into HBO, and I'm here for it.
It really does. It's
it
like,
really
you know,
does. I remember the zip in
Smashed.
Was it Wrecked? Smashed.
Smashed.
Yeah. Smashed. Mm. I remember the zip, and I was like, oh, can you do that on TV? Like, I was so shocked.
We have had detailed conversations about the zip on Discord.
Oh, yeah.
It's so insane. So there's someone's at the door, and it's Xander. So this is the Xander attacking Spike scene.
I also wrote down, it's no business. Spike is right. It's no business of Xander's who she boinks. And
yes.
Xander asserts that being her friend makes it his business. I'm like, that's not how that works. I'm sorry.
It's what's also interesting, too, is he he's so mad and accusing Spike of taking advantage of Buffy. And I was like, in this scenario, Buffy would be taking advantage of Spike. Like, Spike would, if she was coming to him, and not necessarily taking advantage, that's a little too negative connotation, but like,
I think it would go both ways.
Right. Like, he would obviously be taking advantage of the situation, in my opinion, yeah. But like, she would be coming to him and getting whatever she needed grief-wise, whether it's wrong or right, she's doing her thing, and then she would call it off. And like, what in what world would Spike turn that down? And for Xander to come in and be like, how dare you, like, manipulate her? And I was like, if this were even the scenario, there's nothing he could say convince her to do that. Like,
it just shows how Xander believes that Buffy is, I guess, weak-willed, or she's not capable of making decisions on her own.
Yeah.
And it's infantilizing to her, for sure, that he's just like, well, she, even if we are to blame it on grief, we're meant to be, because again, it just, the foundation of the whole argument just crumbles immediately, because we're supposed to believe that Buffy is not in enough of her right mind, that she is being manipulated by Spike into having sex with him, but she's enough in her right mind that you don't need to be providing support for her. Like, you don't need to be checking in on her. So it's like, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You need to figure out which side you're leaning on. Either she's weak enough that she's being preyed upon by a monster, he calls him, that can't physically overpower her, or she's making choices that are potentially, you know, benefiting her that you just don't understand. You can't have it both ways.
So dumb. Yeah. You're right. He's totally infantilizing her.
Yeah. I don't like it. And I don't like the way when Spike is like, yeah, I'm not a monster, and Xander is like, you literally are. And I'm like, okay, first of all, that was metaphorical, and you should have read that in it. He obviously knows he's a vampire, but he's not a monstrous person.
Yeah.
Like, because he's trying to kind of cover for himself and having the Buffy bot and everything, but he's like, if she's sad and she comes to me, I'm not going to turn her away. I'm not a monster. Like, I get what he means by that. Like, that's just human empathy. And Xander is like, you literally are a monster. It goes very back to the, you don't have feelings. And I'm like, but he very clearly does.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it.
That Giles poisoning in season one.
Yeah, it's insane.
And then he's threatening Spike. I wrote the note here again, too. It's just so interesting that it's like 100% this is happening, and no indication that anything, like, not Buffy's under a spell, not that's a robot. Like, it's literally like, this is what's happening. I'm like, that's in your guys' heads, so you shouldn't be that surprised when it does happen.
They are,
especially
just
with how much time they spend together in season six.
Yeah.
When you see them around, like...
And how much of a worse place Buffy is in all of season six. I mean, she's at a bad place now. She doesn't think it can get worse, but oh boy, can it get worse?
She is in for it. And then the minions show up and they grab Spike. He's like, they think he's the key. He's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Buffy and the First Slayer. I love the First Slayer's whole delivery, because it is... It's just a bunch of word salad, and it's confusing. Yeah. And Buffy's reaction is just, what?
What the hell are you talking about?
But I think it's really important, too, because it completely, it addresses the opening scene. Buffy is full of love. She loves with all of her soul. And we see that through, I mean, she doesn't always say it because she's afraid of it, which the First Slayer also points out that it's brighter than the fire. So she shrinks away from it, but she demonstrates her love through everything she does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I completely
Buffy's
agree.
Love language is acts of service.
Yes, 100%.
Acts of service and sometimes quality time.
Yes.
Buffy Bot comes out of hiding, shows up at Willow's.
Buffy, this thing with Spike, it isn't true, is it? You didn't, you know, sleep with Spike.
No, I had sex with Spike. I'm sorry if it bothers you. You're my best friend.
I am. And I always will be, no matter what you do. I'm just trying to figure out why this happened. And I think with your mom and everything, everyone was being all sympathetic and making you feel weak. And Spike wasn't like that. So just this one time you just did something kind of crazy.
It wasn't one time. It was lots of times and lots of different ways. I could make sketches.
No.
Oh, it was a lot of times and a lot of different ways, yeah. I could make sketches.
I love that too.
It's so good.
And then Willow is again prophetic because she says, yeah, everyone was being sympathetic and making you feel weak, and Spike wasn't like that. Whereas, yep, in season six, no one is being sympathetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Spike's, well, yeah.
It's because she needs different things in different moments.
Oh, yeah, where no, 100%. Like, yeah.
In this moment, she doesn't need coddling. She, like, right, wants to get back to normal. She wants to do the things she used to do. And she wants to feel the way she used to feel despite everything that's happened to her. Whereas in season six, no one ever apologizes to her.
No.
Nope. And, like, which is absolutely, it's even after the big reveal, no, yeah, one ever really says sorry. And but Spike is the only one who treats her like it's normal.
Right. Yeah.
And I just, ugh.
Season six is going to be a wild fucking ride, man.
I am here for it.
Yeah. Sorry. It's going to be a lot.
Season six, I had a love and hate, yeah, relationship with it for a long time, but it's, yeah, now up there. Season five is my favorite season. Season six is my second favorite season. So
I think it's like if seven and two are always tied for first place, then six is my second favorite.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I don't know. It's just very, like, because I think this speaks again to how much more Spike knows Buffy.
Yeah.
Like, he just gets her in a way that no one else does, where it's like he can read between the lines and see what she actually needs in order to get through stuff. And, yeah, it's like in these moments, he is just treating her normally. He's, I mean, if you were, like, leaving aside crush and everything, like, you know, his, like, desperate grabs for shit, but he just has been treating her normally and, like, and just kind of being there for her, whereas everyone else is like smothering her with gentleness and affection, which is, like, not really what she needs right now.
Yeah.
And the fact that they can't see that it's putting more stress on her to have to deal with their behavior is, it just shows that they don't know her as well as they think they do.
When the people around you don't let you move on, it's, yeah, just, that's, they're constantly reminding you that you've lost something.
Oh my, yeah, God, totally. Yeah. You're like, you're making me experience this grief on a daily basis.
Yes.
And I just want to, I want to move on. Like, I am still sad, but I need and want to move on. We have bigger things coming. I have other things to do. This is not going to define me for the rest of my life. And it's like, it's kind of, because I was going to mention it earlier when we talked about Joyce and having the rug ripped out from under her, where it's like, when my mom passed away, she was sick for 2 years and it was terminal from the minute she got the full diagnosis. And so I had a lot of time to prepare that my mom was going to die, like, too young. And when I was too young and everything like that. But, like, also the people around me let me take the lead and how I was going to experience my grief and how it was going to affect my life moving forward. Whereas I think the Scoobies are kind of like, well, you're not sad the way I would be sad.
Right.
So I don't understand this. And that to me is not only super unhealthy, but again, it just shows a lack of knowledge about your friend. Like, mm-hmm, let her be sad the way she needs to be sad.
Follow your cue, yeah, because it's the same situation. When I lost my dad, I actually went to a grief support group, and that gave me a place to be sad and to sit with those sad feelings. But I didn't want to, yeah, take those with me when I left.
For sure.
I wanted to, yeah, leave them there. I had a place to go to feel my feelings. And then once I left, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to get on with my life, and please don't drag me back to that place. I go, yeah, there voluntarily. I don't need to, yeah, be guided.
I think you also shouldn't have to... I think you shouldn't have to be super vocal about where, no, you're at with people. You shouldn't have to be like, I'm going to this support group so that I'm not, you know, so I'm focusing it all in one place. You shouldn't have to say that, you know? And it's like, even if actual Buffy was having sex with Spike to try to work through her grief, she shouldn't have to be like, hey guys, just so you know, I'm working through my grief by having sex with my mortal enemy.
Yeah.
But don't worry, like, that's not a conversation that needs to be had.
Yeah.
And the, no, fact that they all are like, why didn't you tell us about this, is like,
they're so entitled.
It's not your business.
They are so entitled to her life. And I feel like they are so entitled to her life in a way that she never tries to be entitled to any of theirs. And they don't try on each other. I mean, Xander is not that involved with Willow's life.
Yeah.
You know, they've known each other since they were in kindergarten. I mean,
which is insane.
Yeah.
If anything, he should be like desperately trying to control Willow's life and with the way that he's doing to Buffy. And I'm like, you have spent your whole life with Willow. Why is this only directed toward Buffy? It's
because he wanted to bang Buffy and he never got over it.
No, okay, right. but he did also that because I feel like I was going to say that too, but it doesn't fully hold water because he wanted to bang Willow too for a moment.
I don't know if he actually did, though. And that's a whole different...
Do you think that was just, like, wrapped up in other shit?
I think that was just, he felt like...
I feel like he had Willow on the hook, and he knew that she was on the hook, and then she got... she started seeing Oz, and he started saying, oh, she's not on my hook anymore. This is not a... She's not an option for me anymore.
Okay.
I feel like the reason that their feelings went away immediately after they were outed is because they were manufactured in the first place, especially on his end.
Well, and it was also then, in that case, manufactured tension by having to keep it secret. Right. So it's like, it automatically makes it more salacious.
And it was, it's like that Family Guy. I don't know how much of Family Guy you guys have seen, but there was a episode a long time ago where I think Peter was like into Bonnie and he was like looking at her through the window.
Man, how do you get any work done? What do you mean? Lois is prettier than Bonnie. Oh, I get it. It's worse, but it's different. Okay. All right. So that's something. Okay.
Yeah. Something that you can't have. Like, he just calls out, like, he's like, no. But she's nowhere near as hot as Lois. And but it's because it's the thing you can't have that makes it more exciting. And then once it's exploded, it's like, oh, I don't care anymore.
I feel like Willow was Xander's safety school. And
sure.
And that's once he saw that door closing, he was like, oh, some part of him, I don't know if it was conscious or not, but some part of him was like, oh, I better make this last ditch effort. And so, I don't believe that he ever felt for Willow the intensity that he felt for Buffy.
Okay, no, sorry. No, no. I'm also going to say something that's going to sound so inappropriate. I think Allison Hannigan is so beautiful. I'm not questioning that at all. But like, when you got into Harvard already, why are you worried about your safety school? Cordelia, Charisma Carpenter is so hot.
You're not wrong.
Like
Kristen.
I'm just saying. Charisma Carpenter is hotter than season 3 Allison Hannigan.
You're not wrong, It is
just a fact.
It is absurd.
I think they're on a much more even keel on like season 6 Willow and Charisma Carpenter. Yeah.
I don't want to pit them against each other, but
No.
I understand what you're saying though. I understand what you're saying. Charisma Carpenter is sex on legs. So
she just is like, it's like she's Jessica Rabbit and Allison Hannigan is Allison Hannigan. Like, there's not a competition.
It's very simple.
I'm just saying.
Back to the show.
Back to this episode.
It's not entirely my fault this time.
No, it was me.
It was good. It was a good run, though. I liked it. And then to close out the scene, one of my favorite lines ever is,
Angel's lame. His hair goes straight up, and he's bloody stupid.
I comment that every time I do a Lego animation that has Angel and people laugh at his hair. I'm like, it goes straight up, and he's bloody stupid.
He's bloody stupid.
And then Xander shows up. None of them realize something's up with Buffy. And then my friend showed up like that, And I had experienced a robot. So if I lived in this fantasy world and I had experienced a robot and my friend was acting just like that robot and was doing things that I never thought she would do or he would do, I'd be like, 100% you're a robot. It just seems so obvious to me.
Because also for like the next 3 scenes, her only objective is rescuing Spike.
Yeah.
And none of them think that's weird either.
No.
Which like, it is. That's weird. As of right now, that's weird. It gets less weird later, but right now it's weird.
What's also interesting too is they're speaking to the way they treat her with the grief. It's like, yes, they should help her get back to normal, but they also are still relying on her too much.
Oh yeah,
like there's
way
these
too much
dead pauses where they're just waiting for her to do something. I'm like, you can do both. You can like treat everything like normal, but then also take a little bit of the weight off of her shoulder and offer up suggestions and not just sit there and stare at her like a fucking idiot waiting for her to give you orders. Like, her mom just fucking died.
Also,
like,
have none of you ever put a plan together?
Yeah, like, what are we doing?
Are you not in a room with 2 witches who can do a location spell?
Unbelievable, right, like, that especially.
So fucking dumb. And then we go to Death is Your Gift scene. She learns that death is her gift, which is, you know,
the implication.
The implication. It's a big part of everything. The minions bring Spike to glory.
Oh, sorry. Really, really quick. Oh, yeah. I also think it's important that the first layer says love will lead you to your gift.
Oh, yeah.
And then death is your gift. Like, that's...
Because the thing happens in the episode.
It's the combination. It's the combination and the synergy. Implication.
Which is so good.
Minions bring Spike to glory. I love that she says, what the hell is that? And why is his hair that color? It's so good.
I don't know, bitch. You're not a natural blonde.
Yeah. And then she tortures him hellishly.
So like, bad. Yeah.
She finds out that Buffy's protecting him and she just sticks her finger through his chest. That's awful. Like,
it's yucky. Ugh. Super yucky. His whole face is truly fucked by the end of it too.
Yeah. And the fact that that's all they could show us, we know she stuck her finger through his chest and then his face is beaten to bloody hell. I'm like, what else did she do to him? My God.
Well, so like when she kicks him off the chains, she definitely
shattered
some
ribs
for sure. And also, I can't stop saying implication, but the implication behind, I wonder if I can peel you in one long strip. Disgusting. Like, yuck.
Ugh.
Super yucky. Why are we flaying?
It reminds me of that season 7 episode where that just was the grossest
shit. With the gnarled demon. Ugh. Yeah. So first of all, so why are we flaying? It's 2002 or 2001. We shouldn't be flaying anymore. Secondly, why are you flaying like that?
Yeah.
That's not how you flay.
That's not what
Stop
you
Stop talking
do.
About it.
Trying so hard not to say spoilers.
Yeah. Giant spoilers.
Yeah.
Huge spoilers. All right. Huge just keep spoilers. Your mouth shut.
So much flaying surrounding that character.
Just ask around the other Scoobies the proper way to flay someone. Actually, that's not the proper way to flay someone either.
Yeah.
It's too immediate the way that flaying happens.
It's gotta be long. Let's go to what's his name from Game of Thrones. He knows what to do. Scooby's
Bolton, right?
Bolton, yeah.
Yeah.
Ramsay Bolton.
Yeah.
Glory keeps torturing. So the Scoobies are with Buffy Bot. Anya says, shouldn't we have guns? Which I think is just hysterical. Yeah. They're looking to they're still looking to her for a plan. Real Buffy comes in and they accuse her of having sex. It's one of my favorite things where Xander's just like,
no one is judging you. It's understandable. Spike is strong and mysterious and sort of compact but well-muscled.
I am not having sex with Spike, but I'm starting to think that you might be.
Okay. I love it.
I kept wanting to bring this up because they don't think that she's a robot. They've never put that together, but Xander's first instinct is to think, oh, well, she was clearly separated by that Toth thing, so they're both Buffy, which means that there is a Buffy that wants very badly just to sleep
just
with
to
Spike.
Right. Again, it's the implications, because there's that the season 7 thing where she's like, why is everybody keep saying I'm still in love with Spike? And I'm like, was that a typo? Like,
yeah,
was that a mental typo?
Right.
I don't know, man. Like, you're
spoilers,
just,
Kristen.
It's fine.
It's fine.
You're showing your hand left and right, and then you're like, how did you guess which fish I had? You know? Like, it's just so
I was
stupid.
Holding it in my hand. Yeah. And then Buffy Bot comes in, and Buffy is like, what the hell? And they all realize why she exists. I wrote, Buffy is so justified
so
in being annoyed that they couldn't tell her apart.
Yeah.
I would be like, are you fucking serious?
No, I'd be furious. I'd be like, first of all, it's the smiling, I think, for me. More than even the having sex with Spike. It's the manic smiling all the time.
Crazy smiling.
Where I'd be like, my boyfriend just left me. My sister is fake. My mom died, and you think I'm going to go around with this apple-cheeked smile constantly? You think
so
this is what my face looks like right now?
So
the sex
dumb.
Is just that good, Kristen. Yeah.
Well, it probably is.
And then we go back to Glory torturing Spike. He teases that he's about to tell her, and we go out to Buffy telling the Scoobies what to do. Buffy bot calls she calls him Giles, which is great. I mean,
I think it might be my favorite thing.
I didn't even realize that, because when I did the I'm working on the Lego version of the comics, and so I had the Buffy person, the person that I got on the voiceover thing to do the VO or to do the voice of Buffy, and I just didn't even think. To me, Giles is just Giles. Like, it just,
yeah.
But obviously, I watched Buffy, and so she just read it as Giles. I was like, oh, that's fucking, is that how it reads to people who don't know about Buffy? I guess. That's such a weird sounding word.
Well, it's like, I guess it's maybe like a GIF versus JIF thing.
Yeah.
Where, like, because we know, obviously, that it's a soft G, so it's Giles. But if you're just looking at it and you're not familiar with the show,
you're just like,
I can see you, I could see you saying Giles. But I do love that it just was, like, a total and utter disinterest from Spike in having to be correct.
It's like, whatever.
And how offended Giles is so that he didn't get the name. He's like, he lived with me. He can't even get the name right.
It shouldn't even matter, but Giles is just like, what the fuck, man?
Well, it's like, it goes back to the thing, too, where after he moves out of Giles's place, and at one point they're talking about, like, having, like, a dark time or whatever, and he just is like, I watched Passions with Spike. We'll never speak of it again. And I'm like, you had fun. I know you had
you
fun watching
it.
Passions with
you
Spike.
You feel bad that you enjoyed it, but you enjoyed it.
You liked having someone around to complain about the kids. So.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Just like Spike is lonely, Giles is lonely. It was the perfect combination. Sure. There was no reason for them to break that up.
That was a buddy sitcom that we were denied.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I was also going to say, I was curious what you guys thought, because I don't remember where in the run. I think I must have watched this, like, relatively close to live. So I did have some of the buildup, but I never believed for one second that Spike was going to actually tell Glory who the key was.
I don't remember, but I...
No? I don't remember.
I actually think, because I started watching Buffy, I discovered that I loved the show right before season 7 started, and that was before there were a lot of, like, the episodes were easily accessible. They were just on FX.
Yep.
So I wrote fan fiction. I started writing fan fiction for... the end of season 6 before I saw that season, because I was reading all of the synopses of all of the episodes.
Okay.
So I'd probably spoiled myself by the time I'd gotten there.
Okay. Like,
but
I watched it live, and I won't say that I thought super deeply into, like, there's no fucking way Spike's going to do this because of the all of these idiosyncrasies that I've definitely been following. I think I was more just like, I love Spike, and Spike was part of the team, and I wasn't even thinking, like, he's an evil vampire and he has an easy out here. I was just like, well, Spike's not going to tell her.
Yeah, I just didn't think, I don't remember thinking for even a second that he was actually going to spill the beans.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't seem, it's just not realistic.
Yeah, I was like, that doesn't track with the story you've been telling.
Yeah.
And then Buffy telling the Scooby, so yeah, their plan is to kill Spike, and then Spike starts talking to Glory, and he teases her pretty intensely, and she kicks him out of his shackles.
Well, he also, he first implies that the key is Bob Barker.
Yeah, which is great. And the minions are like, we're going to go get him.
We'll bring you the limp and beaten body of Bob Barker,
who is old as grit, according to Glory, at the time that this aired. Like,
yeah, he's even older now. He's not dead yet, right?
He's not dead yet. Yeah. We share a birthday.
I share a birthday
with Bob Barker.
Oh, nice. So,
no, but Spike has no reason to believe he's going to be saved. He thinks this is it. He thinks that he can either get Glory to kill him or what. So there's no reason for him to protect Dawn. No reason whatsoever. He could easily, to your point, save himself here just by blabbing. But he also has all the faith in Buffy. He tells Glory to her face how Buffy is going to kick her ass.
Yeah.
And that just...
Her lopsided ass,
which she then has to take a look at, because she
does look. It's so funny.
Because she's got... Like, it's so easy to get under her skin as big. And that's why she needs these minions around her to just be like, you're amazing. You're the most beautiful glorificus in all the world. It's like, she's so insecure. So Spike, I don't even know if Spike saw them doing that. He was just like, oh, I know your weakness. Like,
well, I think he already knows she's a god, so she must be vain a little. Yeah. And so I do love that. And he really does let her have it, because lopsided ass and then like the god of bad home perms.
Yes.
And then like a cheap, tacky, whorish god from like XYZ. And that's when, so I do think he's trying to save himself a little, because he's like working the chains to try to get himself a little bit loose. So, and I think he was hoping she would like kick him.
Oh no, he definitely says good plan, Spike. But you can see at the end where all the minions are running to get him, he's on the elevator and he looks like, oh shit, this is it.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I mean, I totally agree with you, but I do think he was trying to save himself a little, but he wasn't counting on Buffy to do it.
He definitely, and I think he knew, like, if Buffy came bursting in the door, it was kill Spike. Like, without
question. Looks relieved when she bursts in. They say, oh, it's the Slayer. And he's like, oh, thank God.
I almost wonder if it's kind of like an, oh, thank God, maybe she'll put me out of my misery.
Yeah.
Or like an, oh, thank God, I'm about to crack and say it, or what? Yeah. Like, I mean, I think it's probably a lot of things, but
I think it's like, and it's also like, oh, thank God the torture's over. So regardless of what happens, like, either they rescue me, they kill me, Glory kills me, this ends with me not being tortured anymore. I think he's just relieved that it's over.
I do also love the just like one line thing when Spike actually is first brought to her, where she's like, you can't even brain suck a vampire, which is just like a nice little let's just clean up this plot hole.
So she can't do that.
She could dust him, but she doesn't.
She could dust
she
him.
Could yeah.
The Scooby show up and fight. They defeat the minions, and Buffy Bot malfunctions, and the minions tell Glory, and she's pissed and hurts them off camera.
The screaming is intense.
It's pretty hellish. And then they're looking into the Buffy bot. Buffy doesn't think it's anything like her. And everybody's like,
denial is not just a river in Egypt, you guys.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's like, it definitely doesn't act like her, but it is there's pretty much a one-to-one copy.
I really like, again, it's like a juxtaposition, but in the first place, I just really like the like brown on brown that Buffy's wearing. I think it's cute, but I also like it juxtaposed with the very like flirty skirt and top that the Buffy bot is wearing as well. It's very on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. And Dawn, I like Dawn pointing out that they told her that the Buffy bot was for players Spike to play checkers with. She's like, guys, I'm 14. I'm not an idiot.
Tara tries so hard. And I love that she's like, it was a good idea when I thought of it. Like, it sounded good when I first thought of it, but I get it. It's
fine. Kind of want to see that scene too. I just want to see Dawn like, are you fucking kidding?
Oh, I thought you were. I thought you were saying you wanted to see Spike and Buffy bot playing checkers. Like,
I want that too.
I want that too, very badly, actually.
And then Xander says he feels bad for the guy, which at first sounds gross, but then he clarifies and he's like, I mean, he was beat to hell. Like, I like that Xander has empathy here. As much as he was awful earlier, he's just like, I mean, he fucking took one for the team. We don't know what he said, but like,
I'm gonna push back a tiny bit. I don't think it sounds gross at first.
Well, because he says, I feel bad for the guy, we took away his toy. And I was like, well, that's
But gross. I think the only thing that Buffy even thinks is gross is like the implication that she's only reading into it that they should give him back the Buffy bot.
Right.
To which Xander is immediately like, no.
That's but what I mean. Like, it so seems gross at first. And then I like the clarification making it like, no, I just feel bad. Like, he fucking, you know,
he
got
his favorite
taken
toy taken away. And also he
just got beat to hell.
Yeah.
And so they fix Buffy bot, and then Buffy shows up as Buffy bot in Spike's crypt for one of the most iconic, wonderful scenes
it's
in the history of time.
Truly amazing. Like, truly so amazing that I almost don't even have words for how good it is, because I first love that he tries to kind of like put the persona back on for the Buffy bot.
Yeah.
Because he's just lying there. Like, they clearly just literally dumped him on top of that sarcophagus and left. And
he speaks so gently to it, too.
He does. Again, you're right. It's just like, oh. But she comes in and she's like, you're covered in sexy wounds. And he just is like, oh, yeah. And he's just, it's almost drunk. He's like, I feel real sexy. It's so funny watching him absolutely beat to hell trying to put his persona back on for the benefit of what he believes is a robot.
Right.
Like, what? It's crazy.
It's he's such so a wet insane. Cat.
He is such a wet cat.
He's so, and it's so good. Like, it's such a, it's smart writing to have Buffy do this, because it's like, they have to find out what he told Glory. And they clarified, like, he's just going to lie. Like, what's the reason?
But again, footage not found. Why are they just assuming he's going to lie?
Right, yeah. Well, to in their assumption, he's going to lie. I mean, I personally don't think he would.
No.
But I think it's smart to go down as Buffy Bot as, like, 100% guaranteed.
Yeah.
And then I think it is just so fascinating, him not realizing it's Buffy, because she is fully pretending to be Buffy Bot, and then immediately realizing it's Buffy when she kisses him.
Ugh.
I think is it's such, just like the look on his face when she does, because it's, you know, that everything that was with her was just very robotic, the way Warren programmed it, and so, like, this being such a soft, sensual thing, he's like, what? Who are, wait, this is real on. Buffy. Yeah, like, his, you just watch his whole brain explode.
Well, and the thing, too, is specifically what he says before she does it, because she's like, Glory wanted to know who the key was. And Buffy, as Buffy Bot, is like, oh, well, I know, I'll go tell her.
Yeah.
And he's like, he like almost hurts himself harder trying to stop her, like, so immediately. And she's like, well, why? And when he's like, I couldn't do that to Buffy. Like, it would have killed the other Buffy, the other not so pleasant Buffy, if anything happened to Dawn. I couldn't have done that to her. And I do think this is such a pivotal moment in the relationship between the two of them, coupled with, I think it's the next episode, when he says the thing about Willow. So I think it's like these two episodes are so pivotal and so important, and I think this is like the actual real foundation for the beginning half of season six, for the relationship they have in the beginning half of season six. And I think Buffy trusts his information in this moment, which I also think is so important, because she was so prepared to believe he would lie. And there's no reason for him to lie to the robot again. So it's like, for him to be like, I couldn't do that to Buffy. I think it just, that really sticks in there. That really burrows in her mind and sticks there. That, like, he is not super capable of harming her.
Well, and it's the entire season from Out of My Mind to this moment has been Spike trying to prove himself to Buffy in some way. And the second that he actually stops trying to do it, where he's just acting on instinct alone, he's not being performative, he's being himself. That's the moment when she starts to believe him.
Yeah, 100%.
That's the biggest key, honestly, in all of the discourse about whether or not Spike legitimately loves Buffy, is that this scene is absent of anybody to prove anything to. This is essentially Spike talking to the wall.
Yeah.
Right.
Saying what is on his mind, and it is that he loves Buffy and cares about Buffy so much that he would rather die than see her hurt. And it's like, that's not for anybody. That's not for Buffy. That's not for her friends. It's not for Giles. It's not for literally anybody. The robot is just taking information in. It's just so, to see that and think like, oh, well, you know, he's hoping that it's Buffy. And then, like, no, none of that is.
And that's also not supported by anything that happens afterward. So.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that too, because I was going to say, everything from this moment to the end of this season, everything Spike does is only for the benefit of the greater good in this scenario. And then everything that happens between the season five finale and the second episode of season six of Buffy is, again, without witness, without witness, without purpose, without any hope.
Without promise.
Exactly. Without any hope of anything.
He didn't have no idea what was going to happen. He had no reason to think that anything would ever get back. I mean, if he didn't care, he'd be out.
Right. Exactly.
And they even wrote it into the script to clarify that he had no clue, because if he did, never stopped. Yeah.
Again, don't get mad that we are in love with this character. You did this in the writing and the producing and the acting of this character and this arc. You did this, and then you're gonna have the audacity to scold me about it? I don't think so, sir.
Well, especially after we see how they think that the non-problematic men should act around pretty much anybody, especially Buffy.
So bad. But yeah, that's this episode.
So she kisses him as like a thank you, and then he realizes it's her. And then she starts walking away and he asks about the robot and she's like, it was disgusting. That was gross and obscene, but like what you did was something real. And she says, I won't forget it. And she doesn't for a while.
And then she does. It's almost like she's teaching him in this moment. In my read of she's like, what you did with the robot is gross. And that is exactly what I've been talking about in your obsession with me because you were obsessed. And then when she said, but what you did for me and Dawn, that's real. And it's her saying like, this is what showing love is. And like subconsciously, she's not aware of what she's doing, but I've always read it as like she's guiding him, like this is how you treat people that you love.
I think she might be aware of it a little.
I'm good.
I just am kind of like, I feel like she might, because I do think this is also probably the first moment that she believed even a little bit that he's being sincere when he says he loves her. So I do think that she kind of knows, and she's kind of like,
also she's like, fucking go this kissed direction. Him.
She kissed him on the mouth.
She didn't have to kiss him.
Like, there's a reason she kissed him. It's so it's crazy to me. I'm sorry. There's just like reading people getting all worked up about. I'm like,
I've seen some pretty terrible takes as to why they think that she kissed him, and I'm like, do you know Buffy at all?
No.
I'm sorry. This is not the person that you think she is to do this, to be cruel or to do this.
Definitely not. She didn't have to even reveal her hand that she was the real Buffy.
No.
She didn't have to do that. She could have just been like, confirmed it and been like, well, okay, goodbye, and left as Buffy Bot. Or like gone downstairs or whatever.
Was he going to chase her? He is like, you know, broken.
Yeah. Right. I mean, literally anything, but she deliberately played her hand, kissed him on the mouth in such a way that he realized she was not the Buffy Bot, and then still spoke to him and said something nice to him.
Yeah, it's...
He was the one who pulled away from the kiss, too. She didn't end it.
Like, yeah.
That's
he
true.
He ended the kiss.
That's so true, Holly.
And she did
I might have watched this a million times.
Yeah, no, I might.
you just keep going back and back. Like, it's funny too, because she didn't have to sensually kiss him. She could have just done a Buffy Bot kiss and been done with it, like,
or on the forehead or on the cheek anything.
Like, none of it had to, like, she clearly wanted him to know it was her. She clearly wanted to kiss him. She appreciated what he did. It's such a foundational turn for their relationship in this moment that
I would say like, at worst, like, I think the worst read that you can give it is that it's like a trying to be a positive reinforcement for his behavior in this episode. And that's the, I see you rolling your eyes, but again, that's the worst read that you can give it. It's not the read the worst, I give it, but I feel like that's not even,
that's acceptable.
They're that's like... not even cruelty. Like, that doesn't go as bad as like her doing it to be mean, which I just can't even fathom.
Yeah, I read that.
Interpreting
I was like, that was, that's
it
a
as
weird
that,
read
like ever.
This.
But that's what I think that's the worst read is that it's like, here's a cookie. You did a good job today. Here's a cookie.
Yeah.
And even that, I don't vibe with that, because I don't think that's what it is.
I don't think that's how Buffy thinks.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Especially after Crush, they were so like, this is weird and toxic, and you can't give into it one bit, which is what led to him like attacking her. It was her just being so adamant, like, this is never going to happen. And then to do it here, if that's still on your mind, this is not the thing you do. Yeah, you do not give him, like, that's clearly left, and we've transitioned. She realizes, like, oh, this isn't just some weird, crazy obsession. I mean, it is, but it's more than that. And
yeah,
it was a crazy obsession because of completely shutting him out. Yeah. And, like, not showing him the right path, and now you can show him the right path.
And he understands it to be that, too, because, like, yeah, we never see him chase or go, hey, what was that kiss about? Hey, yeah, why yeah aren't, does that mean anything? Can we talk
yeah
about
let's,
this?
Let's move on from this. Yeah, yeah, like, it's...
Also, I just think it's, like, I think it's very disingenuous, especially given how much evidence we have about Spike in the first place, to not believe that he can contain multitudes. Like, he can be obsessed with her to an unhealthy degree and also love her legitimately. Yeah. He can hold both of those things inside him at once.
Yeah.
Because he also kind of hates her and wants to kill her. I mean, like, yeah, there's a lot going on in there. It's like a really bummer soup in his brain.
And he doesn't have this moral foundation to tell him which way to go and what's too much of what. Like, he's
his framework is so fucked up. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny. He's just like, just do everything at 100%. And it's like, you can't hold him to the same standard as a human with a soul. Like, he's yeah figuring it out as best he can.
Cause he also has like over 100 years of really warped devotion to Drusilla too. Yeah. And really, and again, really warped reinforcement of what women want. So it's like, yeah, to if you understand that, you can kind of understand how the first steps he takes are generally not the correct ones.
Right.
But I think it also doesn't discount the good things he does do.
No.
You know,
I think it elevates the good things he does do because he shouldn't be capable of doing those. Yes.
I think I said something to that effect at some point in an episode that hasn't aired yet, but I was like,
I am shocked we agree on this, Kristen.
I mean, I know. It's like, it's
the world
not like we
has
have
shifted.
Generally all the same opinions. No, but I really do.
I'm
think
looking at
that
them on camera,
true,
audience, and it's the same person. Kristen and Holly are.
We both have brown hair and glasses. Yeah.
We do.
So.
We do have brown hair and glasses.
It's just one person doing two voices.
Yeah.
Just trust me.
I don't know. I think it's the same for a lot of like anti-hero characters where it's like, because they act so badly the majority of the time, it makes the moments where they act positively hit harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. Because there's, I mean, like, even to go to something like Mad Men, there's times when, you know, like, Don is really nice to Peggy and you're like, you're so shitty to your wife and every other woman that when you're nice to Peggy or you're nice to Joan, it like, it hits a lot harder because we know how shitty of a person that you can be. And I don't know. I like it. But also, I mean, I love that what you said earlier. Spike has been a wet cat since the moment we met him. And it's just like, you're not scary. Like, you're not even scary. Why are you trying
You're so cute.
You're just cute.
Hems yeah, needs a cuddle.
Yeah. that's this episode, Intervention. Thank you for coming on, Holly. This was a genuine pleasure. I'm happy we finally
definitely
got to have you on about something that was fun to talk
something
about.
Good. I mean, look, this episode was not as long as the other one.
It's because I wasn't as angry.
Yeah. And I was going to say it was that one. I haven't listened to it yet because it's still a little ways away. But it was so entertaining. Yeah. And I think the episode when it comes out is going to be super entertaining, too.
Yeah,
I am dreading and looking forward to that at the same time because I'm like,
no, it's going to be amazing. Yeah. It's going to be great. Yeah.
But thank you, everyone, for listening. You can follow us on all of the socials. I'm at Trevor Carlin.
And I'm with my other show at So I'm Watching, or my personal accounts at FiddleDD85. And Holly, if you want.
I'm at ElysianFieldsArchive.com. That's a Spuffy archive that I run, founded in 2006, and we're still going strong.
And that's it. So do all the things, and we will see you next week.
Bye.